Would you read with me? Advent is a time to prepare.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way for our God.
During Advent, we prepare our eyes to see the light of Christ.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way for our God.
During Advent, we prepare our hearts to receive the word of Christ.
Prepare.
During Advent, we prepare to share the joy of Christ.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way for our God.
During Advent, we prepare to embrace the promise of Christ.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way for our God.
This morning we light our third candle. The lights are nearly all lit. Our hearts are filled with joy as we remember that Advent is also a time to give praise for what God has done, for what God is currently doing, and for what God will bring to completion.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And what a beautiful opening to our service on this third Sunday in the season of Advent. We welcome you and we greet you in the name of the Lord, especially our visitors and guests who are with us today. If you'd like, we certainly invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found on the back of the pew in front of you. And you can place that in the offering plate today if you'd like us to get to know you better and know more about your visit with us. Today is a Sunday that's called in many traditions Gaudete, which means rejoice. It is a Sunday where for this entire season of Advent, we've been talking about waiting and watching and preparing and very heavy messages about preparing our lives for the return of Christ at the end of the age. And on this Sunday, it's as though we've been holding in our smiles and holding them in, and today our smiles burst and we rejoice. We break from that dark penitential nature of Advent to celebrate. We are so close to Christmas. It is nearly here. It has nearly arrived. It is nearly the end of Advent and the celebration of the Christ child. And so even better, today we have a baby dedication to remind us of new life and to remind us even of that babe in the manger in Bethlehem. As you worship today, would you fill your mind with the things for which you rejoice, the saving acts of God in your life, not simply the moment of your salvation, but how God continues to be a part of your life, how God continues to save you and redeem you and restore your fortunes as we worship the Lord together.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, starting with verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what it is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, our hearts desire the warmth of your love, and our minds are searching for the light of your word. Increase our longing for you and give us strength to grow in love and in wisdom, that the dawn of his coming may find us rejoicing and welcoming the light of his truth. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Today is a day to celebrate new life, and we have two new lives in our fellowship here today, and as you can see, many of their family have come as well. And I want to invite baby Levi and baby Adeline to come forward. They can bring their family with them if they like, but to join me here at the front. And as they come, I would refresh us in the meaning of a baby dedication within the life of the Baptist congregation. It's not a baptism. It's not making a statement for them or on their behalf for salvation. But it's a moment of promise where you as the congregation will have opportunity to dedicate and make promises to this family. And this family will have opportunity to make promises of dedication as well, that we commit to investing in the lives of these two children that they might know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you begin?
The church makes a promise to these children and their families. Congregation, please respond by reading the bold print under church promise. Do you, the members and friends of this church, promise that there will always be a place for Levi Paul Nicotin, Adeline Jane Sockwell, and indeed for all children here, and that you will play your part in bringing these and all our children to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior?
With God's help, we do.
For the family, we'll begin the Nicotin family. Do you thank God for the gift of Levi Paul Nicotin? And do you trust God to help you as parents as you care for him? Will you try, with God's help, to share with Levi your understanding of the Christian faith? Will you bring him up within the community of the church? Do you promise to surround him with goodness, love, and respect? A new life in the family of God. Let us pray. God, we pray you bless baby Levi. You fill him with grace, guard his steps, guide and direct his life. May he be a blessing to all, and may all bless him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as a sign of our commitment, we give to baby Levi the Word of God. For your family. Do you thank God for the gift of Adeline Jane Sockwell? And do you trust God to help you as parents as you care for her? Will you try with God's help to share with Adeline your understanding of the Christian faith? Will you bring her up within the community of the church? Do you promise to surround her with goodness, love, and respect? Let's see how this goes. Can I pray for you? Let's pray. Dear God, please bless baby Adeline. Guide her steps. Guide her family's steps to care for her, to love her and support her. May she be a blessing to all she greets and meets. May others bless her life and teach her the ways of Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And for her also, assign the Word of God. Thank you. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated.
Please stand. please be seated.
This morning, our prayer revolution focus is our CBF Global Missions offering. This Sunday, we have set aside here at First Baptist Elon as a day we're called to remember the missionaries around the world through CBF who spread the word of God, the love of Christ. We obviously have a close relationship with Carson and Laura Fushi and their ministry and so many others that this offering, this CBF Global Missions offering, will support. This Advent season, our church has set aside a goal of raising $500 for the CBF Global Missions offering. There are envelopes in your pew this morning. Feel free to take one of those. You can fill it and place it in the offering plate later on in the service, or you can take it home with you and bring it back during the Advent season. But as we give in honor of CBF, we know that the love of Christ is being spread through word and action. Let us lift up the CBF Global Missions offering this morning and all the CBF Global missionaries. Let us pray. Father God, we are thankful that we have the opportunity to support the missions work of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And specifically through this global missions offering, we set aside the finances that we give this morning and through this Advent season to spread the word of your love to everyone. We lift up Carson and Laura. We lift up so many other missionaries around the world as they seek to spread the word of the Christ child has come and the Christ will come again. Father, we are thankful that we have the opportunity to share a portion for this special offering this day in this Advent season. May it go to support your ministry as we continue to build the kingdom on this earth. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. At this time, I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time. We finally get to open it. Now, that is an interesting statement because I need to share a story that happened this week about this gift. Now, middle of the week, I had to remove our special present here, unknown who it's given to and unknown for the reason why and what's inside. I had to move it. And as I was moving it, I found that note we found last Sunday. You remember what it said? You know, be patient, hang in there, getting close. Well, as I picked the present up, that note had been folded over kind of awkwardly, and somebody had scribbled on it, "You can open me now." But it wasn't in the same handwriting as was before. Let me think who might have done it. Well, I don't know who was guilty, but I think Mark. I had a feeling that somebody in our little group up here might have. And that is a wonderful thing. So I took that note off, and I thought to myself, well, we'll still wait and see if another note appears. Well, guess what? Look under the box. I found another note. Danny, can you pull it out for me? What does it say this morning? All right, don't rip it. There you go. All right, the note says this morning, rejoice! Only 10 more days to Christmas Eve. You have remained patient so far. Hang in there, you never know what might happen. I don't see anything on there that says we get to open it yet, do you? No, I guess we have to wait, right? No, no! Just open it. Oh, my goodness. Well, my guess is if we hang in there, if we wait just a little bit longer, that something inside is going to be so special that it's going to take our breath away. It's going to be something that we're not expecting, but when we do, when we see it, you know what? It's going to be life-changing. You know why? Because there's a story in the Bible at this time of year about the Advent that was just like this. Someone was told something that he wasn't expecting, and it completely changed his life. And that's this person right here. Now, this is our figure from our nativity scene on the communion table. Do you recognize who this is? Joseph. No, not Jesus. Not Jesus, but it's Joseph. Joseph. Do you know that Joseph had a surprise in his life?
a big surprise in his life? We're told in the Gospel of Matthew, the angels appeared to Joseph and said, "Surprise! Rejoice! Your bride-to-be Mary is pregnant with child, and the birth of this child, this is the Messiah. This is the one that we've been waiting for." Now, Joseph was shocked. He was surprised. He was like, "Wow, really?" And he thought, "What can I do?" And the angel said, "Mary, Mary, Mary, and support him and raise this child." You see, Joseph wasn't expecting that news from the angel, but you know what? It completely changed his life. And he had an important responsibility. He had to raise Jesus on this earth with Mary. He had an important task. And he helped raise Jesus up to be the Savior and the Messiah that he was. That's pretty incredible. And he was happy. He was rejoicing in God because of this news. So just as we're going to be surprised with what's in the box, Joseph was surprised as well. Now, I want you to remember that this time of year when you're looking underneath your Christmas tree, checking out what gifts has your name on it, and you think about seeing relatives and friends that maybe you weren't expecting or getting to get to do things that you really weren't expecting, that surprise can build up rejoicing and joy in our hearts. And that's what this season is about. Let's stand up, let's have a word of prayer, and let's give thanks for Joseph, who heard the message and rejoiced, and let's pray that God will give us a little bit more patience, maybe next Sunday, okay? Let's stand up and have a word of prayer. Father, I'm thankful for these young men. I'm thankful for the energy they bring and the excitement that they bring to their families and to our church congregation. And we are thankful this day for Joseph, who was given a surprise announcement that Mary was going to give birth to the baby Jesus, who was the Messiah. And what a wonderful surprise it was, and he rejoiced, but he also had a responsibility. He had to raise baby Jesus. And Father, we're thankful for his motto of commitment and dedication. I lift these boys up to you. Give them a little bit of patience. We're only 10 days away from Christmas Eve. In the Lord's name we pray.
Please stand for our offertory hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." It's number 86 in your hymnal. Please stand.
Still waiting, my Lord. pray with me? Dear Lord, this time of the year, we are blessed with so many precious and wonderful gifts that you've given us. We give you a portion of those back that we may go out into the world with the global missions and do your will and teach those of the wondrous birth of Christ. Bless this offering and those givers this season. Amen.
Did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Praise the Lord.
Would you join me in our pastoral prayer and confession? Loving God of Advent, the God who is always on time and always arrives, we begin with confession. Confessing that on this third Sunday, with the theme like rejoicing, we can sometimes stand in judgment for the many missed opportunities to give you thanks, the failed opportunities to lift up words of praise. When we should be laughing, we find ourselves complaining. But God, you are merciful. And we trust in the assurance of your word that you can change us, that your love cannot be separated from us, that you have bound us to your love and your heart forever. And so fill us with that love. Fill our minds with the thoughts of the things you're doing in our lives and throughout the world. Help us to look not at the darkness, but at the light, that the light might fill our vision to the point at which we see nothing else. For you are light, the light of the world. And we ask that your light would shine, that it would shine on those names, those many names on our prayer list, many who are sick, in the hospital, hurting, and in need of your presence. We pray that you would shine your light on our world in the darkest corners of corruption, injustice, fear, hate, hunger and thirst and war. And Lord, that your light would shine, shining into the kingdom, bringing your kingdom, even as we prayed that your kingdom would come and your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This is our Advent prayer. Amen. We invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Would you imagine that if you woke up one morning and an army had invaded our country? They destroyed the Capitol, executed the president and all of the government officials. They were putting us one by one into chains and leading many away into a foreign land and forcing us to learn a foreign language and to worship not in the freedom of Christ, but to worship a foreign religion. What are you feeling? Anger? Fear? Hopelessness? Asking why? Why us? And imagine you're sitting in that situation in the darkness of such a moment. In the Old Testament, that moment was called exile. When Babylon came and crushed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and led the people away. Gave them new names, foreign names, and told them to worship foreign gods and eat foreign strange foods. And the people sat in darkness. But then we know the story. That one day, an even more powerful army came and defeated the defeaters, conquered the conquerors, and said, "You know what, people of Jerusalem, go home. In fact, here's some coin. Rebuild your temple. Rebuild your wall." And so imagine you are those same people, and you're told, go back to your homeland. Rebuild your capital. Elect a new president. You're free. You can worship however you want to worship again. How do you feel now? The feelings of overwhelming joy, of surprised salvation, where for once in many, many years you feel again like it's okay to laugh, where you risk a smile or a shout of joy or a hallelujah. These are the feelings behind this psalm that we read today. That as the prophet Isaiah said, God sent salvation. He restored the fortunes of the people. He made a way in the wilderness and brought them out of the land of darkness, which was Babylon, and back into the land of light, Jerusalem. And hear this pilgrim prayer in Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying in the sheaves. What is the appropriate way to respond to God's saving acts? To respond to God's saving act, not only in the Christ child born in Bethlehem, but the way God saves us day and day and day after day, how God is there for us, provides for us. What is the appropriate way for the disciple to respond to God's mercy, His love, salvation? There is way too much negativity in Christendom. And everywhere we look, we hear way too many so-called disciples being far too down and negative and critical and complaining and whining and fussing. We see even anger in the hearts and faces of those leaving the church. Go across this whole land, and as you watch people leaving the parking lot, you'll see them frustratedly cutting each other off, hoping to beat someone, maybe the Methodist, to the nearest restaurant. I have a non-church-going friend who calls that driving like a Christian whenever he gets cut off in traffic. Or you see them at the restaurant coming in, complaining about the temperature or the food service or how quick it came or how slow it came, and coming in complaining about everything from the top to the bottom of the restaurant, and then leaving no tip or barely a tip, but we're wearing our Sunday best so they know we did go to church. That's called dining like a Christian. We see it in hallways of churches throughout the world. People coming in with their mouths turned downwards and their nose turned up. And you wonder, what's going on in that brain? It's too bright in there. It's too dark in there. The music was far too loud. It's just not loud enough. It needs some oomph. The sermon was too long. It was too short. That's not my style. That's not your style. Hey, you're the problem. No, you're the problem. And all that negativity is and complaining is like sitting in a sour marinade. It just absorbs every part of us and it changes our flavor. And it affects the whole meal. It affects the whole world. When those of Zion had their fortunes restored, we notice that they respond very, very physically. It's not just a head thing where they say, "That was great, we got back home. Well, that's good, God sent us salvation." No, it says that they were like those who were in a dream. And that their mouths were filled with laughter. And that they were filled with shouts of joy. And then this line, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced." This is a verbal thing. They talked about it. That's all they could talk about was their salvation. That's all that they could do was shout and celebrate. How do we respond to God's saving acts? I think in this way. I'm not advocating here some fake happiness. I'm not advocating put on a good smiley face and walk around and say, "Bless you, brother, bless you, sister." I'm saying that when we turn our eyes upon the light of Christ, it fills our vision. Like if you've ever stared at a fireplace in the dark of night or watched a candle, a single candle in a dark room, the longer you stare at it, it becomes all you can see. And you kind of forget about the darkness around you. And so it is that when we turn our attention to God's love and His mercy and His salvation, it wells up from within us something called joy, which is not an emotion. Emotions are pretty fickle. They come, they go. It's not happiness, and it's not just laughter, but it is that deep sense, that peace, and that quiet knowing, I am saved. I have Messiah. God is good all the time, and that He is with me, no matter what. We can get caught up in complaining to God. "God, I want what I want when I want it. God, why aren't you doing what I'm telling you to do? God, why aren't you waving your magic hands and making things happen for me? Why aren't you coming through for me here or there?" Or we could be like those who dreamed, who looked upon the face of God. We often wonder, don't we, why people are leaving the church left and right. Why are people streaming out of the doors of the sanctuary rather than streaming in? We often ask ourselves, why are people leaving their faith and abandoning God? Should we really wonder? Should we wonder if they come into the doors and all they hear are complaints and all they see is grumpy faces and all they hear is negativity? We shouldn't wonder. In fact, as we read this scripture, we always should pay attention when we're reading the Bible to when it says words like "then." And it says, "Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." And so here's the little trick. This sermon is actually about witness. It's about our witness to the world. What message are we sending out there into the darkness? And in this case, when they laughed and shouted, when their hearts were filled with joy, when they were focused on the dream of salvation. When they were living the dream, the nation saw this and the nation said, you know, God has done something for them. Israel was always supposed to bless the nations. Their mission was to bring in the peoples, to draw in the nations. And is that not the mission Christ gave us before he ascended into heaven? Go and make disciples. Bring in the people. Go and baptize. And so we long for the day when our rejoicing becomes contagious in the world. When the world looks to the church, the body of Christ, and sees celebration of salvation rather than complaining and grumpiness. And we long for that moment when those who are not a part of the fellowship say, something's going on over there. God has surely done something. I'll give you an example of this from my personal life. In 1997, I was a missionary in Charleston, South Carolina. It was a very tiring and taxing lifestyle that I obviously couldn't sustain forever. We would be getting up in the mornings at 6 a.m., preparing for the day, planning and getting things lined up. We would do a youth camp send out, and we would do morning ministry. Then we'd have lunch. We'd do afternoon ministry. We'd have supper. We'd do evening ministry. Then we'd do a camp for the youth. And then after that was all over with, you'd practice, you'd rehearse, you'd prepare, and you'd get ready to start it all again from 6 to midnight. And so the one day we had off was on Saturday. Saturday was the day you could sleep in, or you could go to the beach, or you could do your laundry. That's pretty important for some people. And so we were less than thrilled when our director came into our little meeting on Monday morning and said, hey guys, I got a great idea. Has your boss ever said that to you? It's not always good news, is it? And he said, there is this really troubled neighborhood, a government housing project called the Willows. We should go in there and do a block party. We should have hot dogs and hamburgers and cotton candy. Let's get clowns in there. Let's have puppets. Let's just do a big deal and let's present the gospel to them. And you know what? My goal is, let's start a church in that community at some point. And he said, and here's the kicker, let's do it on a Saturday. In fact, the only Saturday that's going to work, let's do it this Saturday. Oh, the grumbling. It's like in the scripture when it says there will be much weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we were mad and we whined and we complained. And the negativity. Folks, I confess to you, I've said some of the most negative things I've ever said in my life. And whined and complain. And then Jack, our director, said a word that my mama taught me you don't say. He said, shut up. He said, you have salvation. You have heard the gospel. He said, you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven in your hand. And what, you want to put them in your pocket and let them jingle for your own amusement? And we said, yes, Dad. And so Saturday came and we were there. I was still angry. I was still tired. I was still negative. I was complaining. I was finding anything wrong with this idea that I could find. We set up the clown stage. We set up the grill. We had hot dogs going. And the last thing we did was fill up one of these jump castles. Have you ever seen one of these? When the last guff of air entered that thing, it was like a beacon in the night. Children came from everywhere. Children coming out of behind closed doors, children climbing out of low windows, children coming out from alleyways, children crawling up out of manhole covers. It was crazy. I probably should warn you, as I tell this story, I don't tell it from a historical perspective, but from the way I felt. And every time I say it was, you have to say crazy. Let's try that. It was?
Crazy.
So there the children are at the jump castle, standing in line, just already bouncing like this. Have you ever seen that with a little kid? One little kid is screaming, yay, yay, yeah. After 10 yays, his head exploded everywhere.
It was crazy. And I got to work the cotton candy machine. Have you ever seen one of these? It spins around and you stick a stick in there. I would spin one up, give it to a kid. He would get it, run to the back of the line, eat it until he got to the front of the line, throw the stick down, and get another. I saw a kid laid out on the sidewalk with a little stream of purple drool running down his mouth. He had eaten himself into a cotton candy coma. One kid sticks his hand in the barrel. It grabs him, wraps him up, and shoots him into outer space. He was a cotton candy comet. It was crazy. Then we had the puppet show. Very nice. When those puppets popped up behind that puppet stage, the kids lost their mind. Most of these children had never seen a puppet before in their life, much less a puppet show. They rushed the stage. They wanted to hug the puppets. They wanted to touch the puppets. They wanted to take the puppets and show them their house. Have you ever seen a puppet run for its life? You would have if you had been there. It was crazy. And the hot dogs and the hamburgers. We tried to be very dignified. You know, young lad, would you like a hot dog or a hamburger? Would you like mayonnaise on it? But when these kids found out that it was food and free food, and they were oh so hungry, it was like dropping blood in a shark tank. They went wild. They just started grabbing hamburgers and hot dogs off of a hot grill. One kid burst into flames. Finally, we just started flicking with the spatula, hot meat in the air, and they would catch it as they went. It was crazy. The whole time this is going on, I'm just bitter. This is the face of bitterness. But while this was happening, we had these missionaries, my brothers and sisters in Christ, just laughing, just having a good time, playing with these kids, wrestling around. The puppeteers weren't complaining. They thought it was hilarious, and they were showing the kids how the puppet works, and they were talking to them about why they're doing what they're doing, because everybody wanted to know, why are y'all so happy? What's going on here? What's the excitement about? Why are y'all laughing so hard? Why are you doing this? And there were people sharing the gospel. I saw this teenager who I happen to know was a thug just minutes before, but he was in tears accepting Christ. I saw mothers reading for the first time to their children the Bible because they were caught up and swept up in the rejoicing and the energy. I saw this one old man. He had his hands up in the air and tears were running down his face, and he was too far away to hear him over the noise of the kids, but I could see his mouth was moving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I found out later that this man for decades had been praying for God to send a revival to his neighborhood. And this was the day. And this was the day I felt about that big. And I realized it wasn't the air castle or the free food or the puppets. All that stuff helped to draw a crowd. But what people were responding to was the rejoicing, the joy in our hearts, or in everybody else's heart. The laughter and the shouts of joy. They were responding to the way people were talking about their faith. Because they were sharing about what God was doing in their lives and talking about how wonderful he'd been. And they were telling about their salvation, and they were saying, what's so good about Jesus? And even though I've done countless evangelism training where I say, when you witness or tell your story, tell about your life before Christ, but don't make a big deal out of it. Tell about how you met Jesus, but don't dwell on it. What people really want to know is, what is God doing in your life now? How is he helping you? How is he strengthening you? How is he changing you? How is he answering your prayer? How is he not answering your prayer in a way you found out was perfect? And that's what they were doing. And it changed everything. And to this day, there's a little church in that little community that's still sharing the joy of the Lord. What could we do
what would happen if we started talking about our faith in such positive and exciting ways? What would happen if we didn't keep our praises to ourselves but shared them with the world? What would happen if our prayer list had more praises on it than requests and concerns? What would happen if the world saw how thankful we were for God and His mercy and His presence in our life? What would happen if we were like those who were dreaming? Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Would you pray with me? O Lord, give us hearts of praise filled with joy. Even when we are in moments of sorrow, fill our hearts with joy. Even in the midst of our tears, fill our hearts with joy. And don't stop there, fill our mouths with praise. Put laughter on our tongue, shouts in our mouth, so that those around us might see our rejoicing and know that you are good, that you are active, that you are alive in our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Would you respond to God's word today as we sing, Glorious is Thy Name. If you've not received this joy-giving God, come today and I'll meet you here at the front and pray with you and talk with you more about it. If you've never joined with this church body and you say, you know, God is doing good things here, I want to be a part of this, come and join today. However God leads you, would you respond as we sing our hymn of response, Glorious is Thy Name, number 204. Please stand if you are able.
Before we go, we want to remind you that we continue this celebration of the joy of Christ tonight with the Moravian Love Feast. It begins at 6 o'clock, but the prelude will begin 15 minutes early. You'll want to come and hear that as well. That'll be a special time of preparation. Would you receive this blessing as we go and remain standing for the response? Joy to the world, God is with you. May the joy of laughter and celebration, the joy, the Lord of joy and hope, the Lord of joy and rejoicing, the Lord of joy and shouts of joy, lead and guide your steps, filling your vision with all that is good, with all that is right, with the very light of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.